Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I got the talk radio. What brings you to the we'll see what happens. I'm not out of the woods yet, but. I just said,
I know he has a
the one thing I always remember, and I think I watched this place a few months ago, was when he fought Raw Raper and Mancini. It was Mancini's first title shot, and Mancini fought him tooth and nail, but it was ugly and slow, it was furious. He struck Mancini, and he stopped, I think, in the 14th round. And he Mancini was dead, and it was his first title shot he has. And I remember when someone was in a post-fight interview, Glenn came up to him and said, you know, keep your head up, young man. He goes, you're an excellent fighter, and you will be a world champion one day. And shows you the type of gentlemanly human being that he was. So, thoughts and condolences to the Aguero family, and all the planets are, half staff and incredible today.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, that's just the classic story of, the guy that kind of runs out of steam, his career is over in boxing. And it's one of those things that makes me always try to retire Boxers Foundation logo out there everywhere I can so that people know more about the plight of retired boxers and what they face. It doesn't always happen that they go downhill, but it's always sad to see it when it does happen. It's just family well. And hope that, that legacy stays strong. Everybody pays their respects. And they'll do a good special on him. We'll get to see all his fights. I haven't really seen that many of his fights, but it's obviously a recognizable name. You know, if anybody knows anything about boxing, they heard the name before. So, and just,
that's what you say. I'm glad you brought that up. I do want to talk about that. So we have a little different opinion on the ending of the fight. I mean, what you see, Melvin, if two of those guys want to be a good, really succeed, I think Victor is a guy. I mean, it's a tough deal on bringing, father left him, father basically left him, he grew up on his own, but he's a young, tough player, a lot of charisma, a lot of talent, good punching power, well spoken, highly energetic, kind of likable guy. And I got his fight. And first round, both guys down. And all the men were straight, he made a shootout. Then he put his opponent off the diagonal down, once in the second round.
Look at the conditions that he say that, you know, if you're going to be a boxer, you've got to put everything out there. But
I mean, it's his life. It's his body. He knows it better than anybody. So if he knew he wasn't going to be able to go on, why bother just going out there for two more punches when he knows this is going to get taken out and go out on his back? Maybe I'm wrong.
So hold on, also, you're coming from your wow. So I mean, he's coming from New York. I work in Detroit, so you know, I'm not more.
Right. Well, I mean, I would normally give up on fighting. And I gave up that one time, and I still regret it that I didn't at least wade through the whole thing. Of course, I got my revenge later. And it's my favorite thing to talk about, as you know, when we talk about our boxing. But, you know, it's never something to be proud of, but the kid's going to learn from it. You know, he's probably not going to do it again. And he's young, so you can forgive him. And, you know, he did put on a great war, so he'll be ready again to put on another war. And he won't be afraid next time to, take it the extra step. I think that much better prepared for it. And I think he went in there with a little bit of cockiness, too. I mean, he's obviously a good guy. He's got a well-rounded family life and everything now. And he's settled and grounded, and he's got a good whole routine. He's got a great character. But, you know, he's young. He doesn't have the experience, and he was probably a little bit more overconfident more than anything else, and that's what killed him. Because he probably got so ahead. He was thinking, if I just get through these rounds, and then he let the guy hit him with that left hook, and that was the beginning and the end. Once one punch like that, and it was so powerful, one punch is split his eye open like that. That must have hurt. And then they follow up with all the other shots after that that really connected. Maidana was in the zone at that point. He was getting stronger rather than weaker at that point. So that had a lot to do with it. When you're going up against a guy like that, and he's got all that adrenaline flowing, and he's looking in his eyes, and he's got that eye of the tiger, I guess you could say. I mean, you have to be the fighter across from him to understand what ended up happening in that fight. So that's my take. But there was also another fight card that was, I don't think it wasn't really talking too much about, but Arthur Ibrahim fought a completely one-sided fight that I couldn't even watch. I got to like the fifth round, and I said, this is just like, you know, over and over again, same stuff. Not very entertaining.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him fight somebody who's going to go toe-to-toe and slug with him. But it looks like this weekend is pretty devoid of really great cards. I'm only noticing one on Saturday, and it's in Germany. I don't know if you have box record in front of you, but I just went through the whole week here, and I'm only seeing this one July 4th fight in Germany. If anything else, but Ian Chambers, 34-1, 18 knockouts, is going to be fighting Alexander Dimitrenko. 29-0, looking for number 30 in heavyweight, and this is going to be Chambers' first real big test, and plus he's fighting overseas, so he's not going to be able to count on the decision.
Chambers, the one bonus, which was to, well, all of you guys, name I had in front of me, but behind him, and it was, a kind of limiting fight, and Chambers, like I said, I've talked to guys that have sparred with him. Ace has a lot. Ace can be a very good fighter. But Ace sometimes gets too passive in there. And you know, when sparkle to where he's make guys miss, like you saw a fight with Santina. You know, he was hitting Peter. He had the shit out of him, but that wasn't throwing enough punches. And when he went over there to put that kid, he was with that kid. And that kid just doesn't turn you on. And then he's up with that kid, you know, control the pace. Because he's got three points, you've got to knock off all the bullshit, like, you know, don't just come in fighting. guy that's going to be able to really do that. He's the guy that runs. So,
well, look at his record. I can tell you right now, his last guy that he fought that was undefeated was only 4-0. No, 15-0, sorry. Ovechkin was 14-0 when he fought, but the most significant undefeated record he ever faced was Derek Rossi, who was 15-0 when he fought in 2007. So, I think this is going to be even tougher test than Ovechkin. And, you know, even if Chambers had done even better against Ovechkin, he would have had the overseas situation there, too. So it would have been an uphill battle to win by decision. And he let go to decision. So unless he knocks this guy out real good or has a completely one-sided fight, this is going to be a real tough win for him to get. And I'm hearing all kinds of stuff that says he's the next great thing for the American heavyweights. And I'm thinking the jury's still out on that. It's his own people putting that word out. But we'll see. We'll see. He can rise back up and meet the challenge and make us all believers. Only time will tell.
I mean, it's just not going to be easy.
And then also on the card, we have a big female fight. Another undefeated female. In flyweight, ten-rounder Susie Kentikian, 24-0, with 16 knockouts versus Carolina Marcela Pierre-Gate. For the WBA female flyweight title and the WIBF Women's International Boxing Federation flyweight title. Another female fight on there too, pretty impressive. Super flyweight, Alicia Graf, 23-1 with 9 knockouts versus Terry Lynn Cruz, 17-5 with 8 knockouts. And that one's for the WIBF Women's International Boxing Federation super flyweight title and Global Boxing Union female super flyweight title. So a lot of lightweight men headlining since the overseas and do headline. They're the only championship fights in the card too, so interesting. There's also a cruiserweight bout between Alexander Alexiev, 17-1 with 15 knockouts, and Kendrick Rutherford, 20-12 with 10 knockouts. So the big fight's in Germany this weekend. That's it for real boxing. And it's about time to call it the UAE. I'm too long to shoot the show tonight. Hopefully you can hear us all right. That's the one concern. I think we're going to get out here.
Well, we'll stop the show.
We told the guy that hooked us up with this from the Rocky Marciano Foundation that we'd have to mention. Can't forget that. Go to Rocky49Wins.com to check us out there. Lou, how's it going?
Okay.
All right. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah.
All right. But this is Rabble Rousing Rich, and I have Tony the Tornado on the call, too. He's the boxing expert, so I'm going to let him start with the question.
Finally got the chance to talk to you. I've been following the Jewish trainer for a lot of years now. And I was telling Rich before we went on the air tonight, I said the first fight card I attended was back in 1992. Long before I started fighting, and long before I ever became a boxing journalist, and it was the week after Mr. Gallery, who worked with Mr. at the time, and I was in the crowd, and they were interviewing you, and I was trying to set up a question to you, so Sonny Rich said, the first question in my journalistic career was, do you have in fact, so I told him to start off talking about, Thank you.
referee. The rule says when the referee, has the man down, he sends it to the other country. On the corner, and it stops the count. And at that time, he had went from one corner or another corner, and they'd taken a couple of steps and he'd gone at the back of him. And that's when I was out by that. So I jumped up on a ring now. He put it back in the coffin. What kind of put it back in the coffin? That was the Bobby, Jamar, and it took him just about 2 seconds and he stopped the fight.
You think that affected Usyk more emotionally than physically? Because that was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen somebody screen it for so long.
I'm out of fighter. The reason I say that, I've seen fighters take beating, very big beatings, and become a good personal specimen. They didn't go out there to be bad.
Thank you.
understand that he didn't want to do it, and he had to do it to get his title shot.
Yeah, you know, he sent me a shirt. I was only getting one for my dad. He's a big white man. And
talking about the famous play, Martin Luther Walcott in Philadelphia, and I went down into my gym in the basement, and I snapped a photo because on the wall I had the original program that my great uncle was there, and it was given to me after he had passed away, and I was boxing, and wanted to do that because I knew I would respect it. And, you know, in the frame, and, I mean, that means more to me than the rest of it. I mean, the great shot, and, a good photo, because look at that photo of my fucking guy, and it's always been that great race. And I didn't pick you out there, and I'm not going to go with that there. And, we talk about that,
I have on my wall,
keep knocking out more and more stars. And so I was telling her the psychology of when those stars are listening, they're going to say, to protect his ribs and protect his torso. I said, well, he decided to punch right through his arms. And he jumped on the tentacles around. The stars had his arms of sizes. He couldn't try to move people.
To get the
heart and clots, and he broke one of the blood vessels.
Yeah.
Well, I just basically wanted to know, you know, from your experience dealing with all these world champions over the years and training capacity and promotion, what's that like bringing a boxer, being involved in their career, and bringing them from nothing basically to a championship?
It's a really good job. You got to love the guy. You got to love what he's doing. And you got to treat him right. And you got to treat him right. And if you don't understand that what he's doing is the right thing, and if you don't understand that he's going to come back, but everything good that he does for him, he's going to come back and go twice as much. You're going to be part of it. If he's part of you, he's going to be part of him. That's why I work with my father. That's why my father, everyone of them, most of them, they were good fighters, not only in the ring, but out the ring. See, there was two rings in our lives of the pilot, in the ring and out the ring. And if you ever get the image in your heart about being a pilot outside the ring, you've got a problem.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, and I'm not just talking about boxing, I'm talking about in sports in general, and second of all, in life in general. You know, too many people, especially, you know, athletes out there, that they are off the field or outside of the ring or off the court or in whatever sport they're on, they are not people to look up to, whether they're following it's a drug.
You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I think rock. Look, it's something that I thought it's. I mean, we spent a father and son night in Turkey and stuff like that. I mean, if he is glad to do, he's been community of theirs, you know, and he paid for it. Now, the other one, he didn't make it, but he's fine to be bothered.
Thank you.
training coach that's going to benefit them. Guys, the training. I mean, I'd be more trained than Tony Brooks. I mean, to become a great trainer, you know. They were all good trainers, and they all listen. And if they really didn't know anything that they had to do, they would straight it out. They would straight it out. I made sure that they would straight it out. And, I mean, we had a better relationship with our fathers, or we had a better relationship with our trainers, too, because they didn't know what they were there for. I'm not just teaching these guys in the ring, as well as teaching them outside the ring.
There was one situation that I wanted to bring up. In fact, we had one of your former fighters back with us back in August. Was a personal favorite of mine growing up. That was Vinny Pazienza. I grew up idolizing Vinny for a lot of years. And the one question I didn't get a chance to ask him, but now that I got you, I wanted to ask you, was when he fought Roger Mayweather back in the late 80s, was after that fight, Roger actually sucker punched you.
That's right.
I remember reading about that.
Yeah, because Roger was, you know, he was fighting before the fight, because you're like, he beat Vinny in that fight. I mean, it was a clear decision, but he didn't fight a clean fight. You know, he said after the battle, he was getting a few things that were kept borderline, and I know after the fight was over, he picked up to say, I remember, he didn't call him, I know Vinny, but I know Vinny, all of a sudden he'd blow his stop and he'd pick him up and throw him out the ring. He think he was awesome, you know, and I didn't want him to get that, I want him to fight. I always thought Vinny was a good fighter, but he had to fight, and you had to bring him along. You just couldn't let him go by himself. And a lot of times we had to go into him.
Just when the incident with Roger, the fight was over. A few years ago, he basically did the same thing as a trainer. He went up and he tried to attack Zab Judah in the middle of the fight.
Thank you. a child from Montana. And if that part of the bus, and he said, you know what? I think I'm better. I'm glad to say that about Ralph from Montana. Insurance cards.
Yeah, because
that was one of our big moments. It was a lot of big moments. Rocky, it's so many things for so many people. It's just
That's where you really get the sense of this is good for sport.
absolutely right. And, it's a lot of subscribers, you know. And you get that big energy, come right back. And they can understand that a trainer, a tough man, you got to teach them around all the time. Those guys, they know what they're doing because they're doing it in other people. And when the angel is involved, they try to change you. They can't change you, but they have a problem. Luckily, I have good trainers. I have a bunch of trainers. And the Chinese guys in the ring as well as outside the ring. And I can't say enough about that. That's, you love what you're doing, and you love who you're doing it with.
Now, I don't know how much you're following the Mike Tyson documentary yet, but what are your thoughts on how the focus has been so much on, where's the next Tyson, and how he seems to be getting this big, great legacy after the fact?
Who knows? It may be carrying on the campus. Who knows? Today, you're different with it. You know, damn, I'm a better. a basketball, if they haven't got better at baseball, if they haven't got better at football, they've got to take care of one. Hockey don't have anything to take care of one. How do you take care of people? How do you do it? How do you get them to keep it? How do you something in teaching, Aaron, they need something. Boxing does not have a bell. They don't need that bell.
It is one of those cutthroat sports that gets a lot of flack for the way the managers treat their fighters. And, it's just that classic old thing of the fighter not only keeping a beat in the ring, but getting a beat on his paycheck a lot of times. And Rocky was a classic in that respect. Heard so much about this Al Weill guy and how he took 50% of Rocky just winnings every time. And, obviously he did a lot, but did he do that much? I don't know. And, you get guys like Oscar De La Hoya, fighters actually coming into the promotional side of the business. And
okay, come in. I handle Oscar De La Hoya in Night Optics. I changed the club month over there. A lot of good activity came out there. Good people came out of there. need to help out, I'm going to help.
Yeah, we're gonna try to re-educate everybody on the new one. So
well,
we gotta get back on that one.
Amazing. I mean, if you didn't kind of get a chance to go about,
you know, we were talking a lot about, you know, Rock 20 and the great conversation there. And one tourist incident in some of the training career I spoke about when he was sucker punched by Rodney Mayweather in a very, very scary situation. And Rich, do you remember the 1996 fight between Andrew Bellotta and Rick Bell when it fell into the full scale riot?
That's the one I was thinking of. That's the one.
I didn't know my soapbox so I had just came out of the hospital. I had knee surgery and I was, you know, laid up and I was watching the fight, you know, with my dad. And you know, well, first of all, we were surprised because Galato was handling Bell, you know, so easily. They just hit him with a lot of blows and they finally disqualified him. And what it goes, the guy, like, he was collectively a nice guy. And when he was with his folks, he was one of the classiest guys in boxing. Really kind of bunch of guys that were just hangers on, that were like, Rock Newman was a scumbag. He was his manager. And he had a lot of, like, his tusks. Like, Rick Bell, he had his group, and, you know, they all thought they were badasses. And as soon as, you know, Clyde gets 12, like, Newman charges the ring. And then those, you know, posse come in, they're like, they go after Clyde. Next thing you know, everybody's throwing chairs and hitting each other. And I remember Jim Lampy saying it directly, like, you two got hit and was being carried out on the stretcher. And Sean Morrow was wrong with the guy. I mean, the guy was, you know, he's like 13 years ago, so he said he was in his maybe late 60s, early 70s. And you see this article telling him to get carried on the stretcher. And they almost took the stretcher over while they're carrying him on it. And that was a scary situation. Like, you know what was happening? I remember Jim Lampy saying directly, my 16-year-old daughter's here, and I don't know where she is. I'm scared. I mean, you know, people like Rock Newman, people that are wrong in boxing, Rock Newman, the Big Brothers, those are people that are bad in this sport. Guys like Big Newman, guys like Eddie Fox, like Fresh Roach, those are guys that are good in the sport. Guys that even players like Oscar De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao, those guys that are good in the sport, you know.
You know, like Rock Newman's creative get-ups, anything like that?
Do you ever come on UFC 2-day fights where, like, Rock Newman jump up the table and jump down the top rope? The guy who was with Bill in front of him, Elias Tillery. And Tillery was a scumbag, though, you know? I think he's in jail for murder now, I'm not sure. But Tillery was a scumbag, and so funny, it goes, kicking the ass, and Tillery was like, you know, oh, so 500 flatter. That Bell was beating him for the first round. He might have knocked him down. They walk back to the bell ring, they go right to their respective corners, and they start jawing. So Bell turns around to face him, and they start throwing punches at each other. And then Tillery tries to kick Bell, like, almost in the nuts, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The guys were unprotective about. He could have tried to kick Bell in the nuts, and Bell kind of pushes Tillery back towards the ropes. And he pushed him back to his ropes. Newman jumps on the apron. I swear this thing came right out of the WWE ring.
It sounds like the mouth of itself. Yeah, it takes right there.
Yeah, it is. He pulls Tillery like around the neck and both his right hand and topples him all over the top rope. YouTube it. Rebo on the concept of it. I find the whole thing to you because it's that ridiculous. I mean, I don't think there's always a controversy. Rebo. Collectively a nice fighter, a nice guy, talented fighter, but it's like, you know, the Van Man incident, he had
a good job standing in front of this one.
He had the prize at Madison Square Garden.
And was doing the Marines for that. Right.
Oh, he went to the Marines for 3 days.
Now he wants to fight Peter McNeely. That's what I hear.
What?
Now he wants to fight Peter McNeely.
God.
I don't see either of those guys.
Please, I remember watching, when Bell made a comeback a couple of years ago, and it was actually scary to watch because, you know, he did not look healthy, and then he was fighting the guy that was a sub-500 fighter, and, you know, the guy actually was beast and Bell pretty good with some combinations, and it was actually kind of frightening to watch.
Well, that's quite the interview we had there with Lou, and I don't really have any good questions. Big fight coming up, and it looks like Fletcher's mind is pretty much playing here anytime and other things. So the only big mixed martial arts fight to talk about is UFC 100, which is next week, next weekend, the 11th of July. Of course, again, it's in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, where the UFC is pretty much at home right there, Vegas. All their headquarters and then the Ultimate Fighter show goes on. So it's their backyard pretty much, and they're going to have their biggest event yet, I think, on this card. Great card, and it's obviously the 100th show, so it's going to be a big event. And they're going to have even a tribute to Michael Jackson as well. He just put out a new story. I don't know if you caught it yet, Tony, but there's an interesting connection between the UFC and Michael Jackson. That is that, number one, Jackson was a UFC fan. As far as, there was at least one blog that I saw that put up a picture of Jackson in UFC 84. He actually showed up in the event, and it probably stems from his involvement with one of the co-owners of Station Casinos. And Station Casinos is the parent to, well, the company owned by two guys who are 90% owners. UFC and a company called Colby Capital, which is owned by a guy named Thomas Barak. And I guess he was the former director of Continental Airlines. Now he's a hugely wealthy billionaire with all kinds of real estate all over the world. And one of his properties just happens to be Neverland Ranch. So really, great connection there. And I'm not really usually a shameless guy, but I figured, hey, connection between this guy who's on every channel now, on every newscast. I guess he's saying something new about his death there, so he's in the news, and I figured it would be good to educate people about this connection. It's kind of interesting. It's like fact is stranger than fiction. You'd never think these two guys would get together, a billionaire and a guy who's pretty much, I mean, he had nothing left. He was losing Neverland, Jackson was, when these guys got together. Thomas Barak was a neighbor of his before this over in Neverland. And of course, you know, now that Station Casinos is going bankrupt, it's interesting timing, I think. The article's worth a read. It's got a lot of links to some backup stories that I've been able to get in the updates in Google on Station Casinos, and that's how I found out. But it has really been widely reported. Of course, now they're all talking about what to do with Neverland, whether it's going to become a Graceland or not. And there's an interesting article linked to the piece about how zoning issues would prevent it from being Neverland number one. And number two, they consulted a mortuary already, and they said that there's no possible single way that Michael could be buried on the grounds either. So that's interesting. But, you can pretty much bet on the fact that people are going to show up there whether you make it a museum or not, so that might be a compelling reason for the local government to say, listen, we're going to have to do a variance here on the zoning and let you have this museum here because, we got to deal with the people anyway, so do it sensibly and make some money for the community. But, I don't know, I don't think it's going to be enough to turn it around and have this guy have enough money to pay a lot of Station Casinos. But the other thing is, this guy and some other investor actually financed the whole comeback, the Michael Jackson comeback, and also took in some of Tyson's assets as collateral for spending money. And that's interesting because you never know what leverage they have now with his estate. I mean, they obviously didn't have to build the tour, and I'm beginning to get a contract issue there, but he's got to owe this guy some money in addition to his Neverlands, and he's going to obviously make buck on that, but it's going to be interesting to see if he makes buck on the estate, too. So it's interesting timing. Maybe even though the tour isn't going to go down, obviously, he's still going to come up making out like a bandit on this one. Obviously, it seems like he's pretty close to Jackson's family and respects their wishes as well, and he's working closely with them, so I don't think you'll see him sue them for any estate, but they might have some legitimate right to it. So keep an eye on that old connection. And,
I'll tell you what I thought. I don't really disturb it today. First of all, I don't know how well you know me, Rich, but I am not a guy that goes to a lot of funerals. If I have to, I have to. I went to one, I went to two this past year, and I enjoyed either one of them. But I never heard of a situation where you have to buy tickets to go to a funeral. I'm certified, Rich, that you can have a funeral is going to be held at the Staples Center in Los Angeles.
So really, just watching the view, and then so
our folks in the final hours. They do have a last rites, and that will depend on the news. We're doing a very special time, and you know, she's only going to be, and she's going to be dead that way today. It's bad, and she's talking about all this, and it's going to be so bad. And so, she's been doing all this, you know, coverage on our folks, which is okay, great. You know, she was a great entertainer, and by all accounts, she's a very good, you know, person. So, you know, I'm getting ready to work out, and then comes on breaking news, Michael Jackson is now in cardiac arrest. He's undergoing CPR right now. So, our folks was forgotten about. Now everything's on Michael Jackson.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because, you know, Farrah Fawcett, her downfall was probably the chemo and, you know, all the cancer and all that stuff. And it was natural.
And it's no drama.
It's no drama to sit around and talk about all day. And, you know, there's no scandal at all. I mean, she's got a kid in jail. Big deal. That's the only thing they can talk about. And she had a documentary done and everything right before she died. They knew it was going to happen. You know, this just came out suddenly with Michael Jackson. So it was like, you know, breaking news when it happened. And then media frenzy. And love it, you know. You know, I don't think Farrah has been in the news quite as much in recent years either. You know, everywhere Michael goes, he's recognized.
Reports when I send them to you from the flight card. And a lot of these guys are friends of mine. Sunday, Rogers and Todd Wall, to Chuck Nisaccio. Chuck Nisaccio is the guy I trained. I covered a head kick. I take part in that.
Yeah, that's good. That's tough to do. But one story that reminds me of the, you know, the little drop in the casket thing. My first situation with having scruples in the media was one of my first assignments working for the newspaper. When I was a reporter up in New Hampshire, the Laconia Citizen was the newspaper. I think it's still on, which it deserves. Anyway, I had this editor who was a real funny guy. You know, he'd been in the business for a long time. Big, heavy set guy. And, he could just shoot straight at you and tell you exactly what he felt and never pulled any punches. So, he tells me I'm in the office and he tells me, you got to go cover this motorcycle accident. It's like half an hour away up in the hills somewhere. And it's just starting to rain, and he's like, go get going, you better get there now, I just started over the scanner, so I get carried out of there, and I don't get there in time to see the blood and guts or anything like that, I just see the bike going onto the flatbed, and I get towed out of there, so I talked to the cop for a couple minutes, and this is one of the family members of the guy who was in the accident is coming over, I asked the cop if I can take a picture of the bike. And, of course, the guy from the family looks at me with this mean look, and he goes, no, like that. So right away, I was just like, well, there's no way I'm taking a chance. Don't respect his wishes, But then I get back to the newspaper, and I tell my editor, this is what happened. They wouldn't let me take a picture. And he goes, what? Are you kidding me? He goes, let me tell you something. Next time you get in that situation, you take that picture. I don't care if the cop arrests you. That's a story, too. I was like, what? You don't want to impress your editor. You don't want to, make a scene there and, try to tell him he's an asshole. But, of course, in my head, I'm thinking, what a insensitive thing to do in front of a victim. Take a picture anyway, even if it gets me arrested. I'm going to be in the show, even though your family member is hurt. really turned me off the whole thing. But then again, it's an ambulance chasing. Comes from the territory. But we actually did have a big lawsuit with that paper at one point where one of the photographers at some big rally that got out of hand got bit by one of the police dogs, and one of the policemen came over and smashed his camera too. And I think they won the lawsuit. But that was one of those things where they knew they could get away with it because it happened before. The guy got arrested before for just doing his job, and they figured, hey, we got precedent here. If it happens to you, go for it. But no, I'm not gonna cross that line. Not for a newspaper. For nothing. Anyway. So we're going off topic there. But anyway, there's not really much else to talk about. It's kind of a slow fight weekend, if you want to call it that. I do notice I'm getting a lot of stuff in the block lately. So keep checking that out. What do you think of the new look?
What we're going to do more in depth than I was doing about pants, every often, and it's interesting, definitely. I kind of like it. And I want to look at it some more. And then I definitely grow.
Right. The only thing I don't like is, for some reason, one size fits all on this. You pick one size for your font, and it's hard to change individual stuff. Like, if I wanted to go smaller on the sidebar, headings and stuff, all that text looks too big to me, but I can't go smaller without making everything else, even the story, smaller. So, I'm stuck with it the way it is. I just thought I had to cut down on all the extra idiot stuff and make it look cleaner. I got your MySpace page on there now on the blog, so on the right hand side, so people can add you. I don't know if you're noticing more ads from that. And
which MySpace do you have?
The Fight News Unlimited one. I notice a lot of people are leaving MySpace. Or just
I'm not sure. I've got a MySpace that I can have
MySpace, but on Facebook you can find everybody who went to kindergarten with me. Tonight, and finish your